Welcome to the Sober by Design podcast, where we explore the many pathways to recovery and a better life through conversations with a wide array of guests. Whether you're sober curious, in recovery, or simply looking to improve your mental health and well-being, this podcast will have something for you. Each week, we sit down with inspiring guests from all walks of life who share their personal stories of struggle and triumph, offering valuable insights and practical advice on how to design a life worth living. From addiction and mental health to spirituality and creativity, we cover a wide range of topics that are relevant to anyone seeking to live a more fulfilling and authentic life. So join us on this journey of discovery, growth, and transformation, and start designing a new life. All right, everybody, welcome to the Sober by Design podcast. Today we have a guest here that's a little different than our typical guest, but somebody that I wanted to talk to. Today we are talking to Flat Earth Dave. Flat Earth Dave is a podcast host and has a subject that he is passionate about, and I do love passion. So, Dave, want to introduce yourself?
You did it. I'm Flat Earth Dave. I was born in Connecticut. I still live in Connecticut. I went to college. I got a full education. I went into corporate America, had a couple long-term jobs. And then I found out, we can get into it, how I found out, but I found out the truth of our world, and I walked away from everything. I had left corporate America. I started my own company with a partner, and we're doing extremely well. I kind of had what they call the American dream. I work for myself. I'm making lots of money, make my own hours. Life is really good. And I walked away from it all to spread this message, you know. And the default question people have is, what difference does it make? I still have to go to work on Monday. The shape of the earth doesn't affect my life. We all say it.
Yeah. Yeah. So just step back. When you were working, what type of industry were you in? Like, what was your, focus?
20 some odd years, I was in the commercial printing industry. I rose to the top of that industry. And then I left there and I went into the solar power industry. And I worked for a company that was actually was all residential. And I was like, why don't we do commercial buildings? And they're like, well, there's no way to really finance it and do it. And I figured out how to finance it, how to do it, how to structure it. And between my partner and I, we literally started a commercial solar division in this company. Company was sold, and to a residential nationwide company, and they let the commercial division go. So for about a year, I was like, what am I going to do? You know, and I was kind of just like coasting on my own a little bit. And then we started a better version of the commercial division, and we rose to the top. We were the number one in the East Coast. The company's still around today. And doing great. But I walked away from it all because my truth journey, mm-hmm. which is more than just flat earth, was kind of getting in the way. And my partner, one partner couldn't care less. And the other one was like, no, it's really, you know, he was very blue pilled, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I decided to walk away from it all because this is a message that matters. You know, I threw my hands up when I first heard about flat earth. I refused to look. I banned people from my social media. I had a podcast called Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. And when people suggested I look into flat earth, I was like, I'll look into anything, but flat earth is too stupid. Mm-hmm. And I banned people. I came up with the term banned for life. And I just banned people for even suggesting that I look. But then I went to look. I had to look. I was forced to look. And I went in with a bad attitude. I went in to prove the globe and disprove flat earth. I wasn't looking for the truth. I was just looking to prove what I already believe.
Sure.
And that's when I realized, holy crap, this is something else. And, you know, and then I threw my hands up like, well, what difference does it make? I still have to go to work on Monday. I don't even know what day of the week it is today, to be honest. Okay. and this is what I do now. And this message frees your mind. And we'll get into it in a little bit, or we can get into it now on how this relates to the theme of your podcast.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Okay. Just stepping back though, you mentioned your truth journey. So you were working, you had this successful commercial solar company, which I know a little bit about. I'm in the design and construction industry, and you know, a lot of my projects are going to the photovoltaic panels for energy production, and it is catching on. It's challenging, but it's catching on. So you're working there, you're doing good, everything's humming, and then you said you wanted to go on your truth journey. So what is that for you? What was that for you at that moment?
So when I worked, I was working for the corporate solar power company. every day in the lunchroom, my friend Tim and I, we would be talking about, I guess you can call it conspiracies, but we were talking about one of the big topics we were talking about was what is money and what is the Federal Reserve and what is the IRS? And every day, more and more people started hanging out in the lunchroom. Wait, oh, there's Dave and Tim. And we literally had like a crowd of people every day around us. And we were talking about stuff, you know, that the IRS is a private bank and, you know, are you aware of that? You're aware of that, right?
I mean, I don't really dabble in that in that world, but right.
So we were getting into some things. Then one day, Tim calls me up and goes, "Hey, Dave, my friend Mike, who's a comedian in New York City, the New York City Comedy Club is opening up a podcast studio, and they're open for a podcast that have an element of comedy, and I've got a great idea." And my comment was, "What's a podcast?" Right. This was you know, quite a while ago. And he says, "We're like a recorded radio show." I'm like, "Okay." And so him and I were the truth tellers, and then Tim tried to turn everything into a fart joke.
Okay.
And it was really good. We started going over all of the heavy conspiracies from, you know, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to poison the well, but you know, the thing that happened in New York and the marathon and all these other things. But then people started pushing flat earth on me. And I was like, I refuse to even watch a 1 minute video. It's just too stupid. I mean, I'm open-minded, but then I tried to disprove it. And that's how we all have the same story. Everyone has the same story. I'm not a flat earther. I don't believe the earth is flat. I believe the earth is a globe. Ships go over the horizon, seasons, sunsets, day and night, you know, all of these things. But then when you're shown how much your mind has been gatekept, how you've been programmed before you can even think, you start looking at it, and anybody that has any intellectual honesty and their ego isn't so huge that they're not afraid to admit that their entire life is a lie, they get it, and everything changes.
Hmm.
Everything changes.
So to go back to the conspiracy theory thing, because I think it frames this for maybe my listeners, right? Because like I don't know where my listener base sits on that plane. But I've always seen there's like a pyramid, right? Isn't there like, I've seen like a conspiracy theory pyramid where there's like ones that are maybe more towards the bottom, if I remember correctly, or the ones that fall into like what people might believe, right? Like UFOs or the JFK assassination was, you know, planned and like that kind of stuff.
You know, the CIA admitted last year that they killed JFK. Are you aware of that? That's disclosed information.
No, I didn't know
so
that one.
Every conspiracy theory that we went in has already, they've already admitted that it's not, that we're right. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy analysts.
Okay.
Right? When we look at things, we actually look at the facts. We analyze them. We don't want everything to be conspiracy.
Okay.
Right? But the conspiracies are so huge, it's unbelievable. Like the CIA director, he said, once everything the public believes, once everything, I think it was William Casey, once everything everything the public believes is a lie, then we know our job is done. Yeah, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything American public believes is false. William Casey, CIA director, 1981.
Okay.
When I heard that, I'm like, everything, right? Everything, it can't be everything. And I was very resistant on that. It's amazing. If somebody took a test, like 100 multiple choice questions, and they got 98 of them wrong, would you say they got everything wrong? Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where the American public is. It is amazing. When you don't know where you are, who you are, what this place is, you can be convinced that if you breathe on grandma, she's going to die. You can be convinced of anything.
Right.
Okay. And that's what this is all about. It's about control of the human race.
Yeah, I just found it here on my side. So it's just this chart, and I had seen it before, and it goes, you know, there's like, it's an upside down pyramid for people who are listening. And on the bottom are the ones that, you know, the conspiracy theories or, you know, ideas, I guess, that they, on this chart, they claim grounded in reality. And as it goes up, the, you know, the pyramid gets bigger now at the top. And, you know, up there, there's, on this chart, there's things like Pizzagate and things that people might just know. But like down at the bottom, again, like MK Ultra, right? Watergate, all that stuff.
We're started with false flags,
right?
The Gulf of Tonkin, the you know, they all these wars, you know, like the more recent, the Iraqi war, they have weapons of mass destruction and Colin Powell with his poison, you know, but all that was fake. It was not true. You know, their babies, they're dumping the babies out of the hospital, out of the incubators. Remember that?
Yep.
And that was just a royal prince's grand niece or whatever. She was just paid to it. None of that was true.
Mm-hmm.
So people have a hard time believing it right in front of them. You know, let's talk 9/11 for a second, because 9/11 was one of the big things that woke me up years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually saw, I have a direct line sight down Long Island Sound of the Twin Towers, and I saw the building turn into dust in midair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you know what the official story is with the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania? I'm going to tell you the official story, and you're not going to believe it.
Okay.
You're going to either think I'm lying, or that's not the official story. And the story is the plane cracked at such an angle, at such speed, that the ground liquefied, swallowed the entire plane so deep, and then re-solidified where they can't dig it out.
Hmm.
That's the official story. Who's the conspiracy theorist?
Yeah.
Right? Never, ever has there been a plane crash where the plane just does that.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And it's still to this day. I think there's an army base there now or whatever. No one can go there. No one can dig. No one can do anything. There was no plane wreckage. There was no luggage. There was no chairs. There was no seats. There was no people. There was no blood. There was nothing.
That was where was that? Shanksville?
Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Yeah. And if you go on Google Earth, where they showed there looked like a hole where a small bomb blew up.
Mm.
And then there was like crack in the earth where the wings were, supposedly. But you go on Google Earth, slide it back to before 2001, that crack was already there.
Okay.
So again, we're crazy conspiracy theorists, but over time, every single one of the conspiracies that we talk about becomes a known fact. But no one comes back and goes, you know what? I'm sorry, 10 years ago, calling you a conspiracy theorist. You know the difference? You know what the definition of a conspiracy theorist is? Somebody that knows what's going to happen before the general public knows. That's what we are.
Right.
Critical thinkers is what we are.
I mean, there's some things, listen, there's some things that I can, you know, get into, right? And again, that's why when you reached out, I was like, I want to talk to you, because I am curious. I'm a curious person, right? And I'm like that in my, you know, in my work and around people, you know, finding their pathway to recovery, and also just understanding, you know, somebody's point of view. And I think it's interesting to have these conversations. So, you know, again, you had this moment of, You were having these discussions with your coworker, and you guys are talking on the IRS and the Fed and you know, about money. And then that opened up this other gate for you where you're now diving headfirst into all of these, right? So now you are taking in more information about every event that you're talking about on your podcast. Is that...
We were talking about everything. And
okay.
So the Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole podcast went for 3 years, and the third year kind of found Flat Earth, and we were doing it weekly. And then after about a year into there, it kind of ran its course. You know, Mike, the comedian, he couldn't handle the Flat Earth. And we kind of stopped it. And that's when I started the Flat Earth podcast.
Gotcha.
We realized there was, you know, millions and millions of Flat Earthers, but there was no podcast, just audio podcasts. So I started the Flat Earth podcast. You can still find that online on my website, flatearthdave.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing journey. The thing is, if you 100% believe something, it's true for you. It doesn't make it true. It's true for
right.
you. And if you 100% believe something, you're usually unwilling to look at anything that would counter that. Right?
Right.
Do you love space? Come on. You love space. You love Star Wars, Star Trek.
Right? It's like it's not up there for me. I'm like my wife is like really into the stars and stuff, and I whatever. Yeah, I look up there. It's huge, and to me, actually, it's like a bit overwhelming. That's what I'll say. Well, the thought of it is overwhelming to me.
I have a roadmap, and you can take me anywhere you want. But let's talk about what Flat Earth is.
Okay, before we go there, I just do want to say, I read...
The globe is, but I want you to save 10 minutes to talk about why this matters with sobriety.
Of course, we'll get there. I do want to talk about one, I don't even know if it's a conspiracy theory, but it's, I read a book called Chaos. I was a big true crime fan. That's kind of what turned me on to podcasts originally, and then I found recovery podcasts, and Now I kind of take in news and all sorts of things through podcasts, but there is a book, Chaos, and it was written, it's about Manson, Charles Manson, and the CIA, and how, you know, through psychedelics, they kind of created this super villain, right? Like, you know, and I think that is something that is now used to sound crazy, right? And now there's this huge book out there that's basically saying, like, the CIA was using psychedelic drugs to, you know, manipulate people. And, you know, Charles Manson was maybe one of them. That's kind of the thesis of the book. You know, again, to your point, sometimes things are said and it's like, that sounds nuts. And then there's, you know, proof.
So they want you to think that this is a cult leader.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, I don't have all the details, but the whole story on Charles Manson is another put up. But this is a cult leader. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson. Mm-hmm. He's the high priest of Scientism, and he wants you to believe that the Earth is a globe. He has never presented a single piece of proof other than his verbose, you know, persona and just saying things. Oh, right. Flat Earth is stupid and whatnot. But that's a cult leader. That's a psyop.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, that one, yeah. I'm not a huge Neil deGrasse Tyson fan. I think he's a bit of a goof.
He's an actor. That's all he is.
He's a little goofy. But all right. So let's dive into the Flat Earth. So before this, I just want to set the table on this one a little bit.
Sure.
So before you dove into the Flat Earth thing, you were somebody who subscribed to the idea that, you know, we lived on a round globe of a planet and we're surrounded by other round planets.
That's what we were told before we could even talk.
Okay.
I had a mobile of the planets above my crib. I had NASA sheets. I watched Sesame Street. There was astronauts on there.
Yeah.
Everything.
And you believe then that the universe then goes out and there's another galaxy and galaxies and galaxies. Like, that's
I
what you
believe. I took 4 years of astronomy in college.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I loved it, and I was really good at it.
Okay.
I was really good at memorizing and regurgitating.
I just wanted to make sure that that's where we were at. I wanted to level set.
I have a quick question for you. They say that the universe is expanding at 1 billion miles a minute or something like that.
Yeah.
What's space expanding into?
I honestly don't know. Again, I said when I start to think about it.
You don't know is because you're not stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why you don't know.
I just, when I look at anything that's like the galaxy or any of the images that they present, it's just a little bit overwhelming. And I try not to think about it too much. That is kind of where I stand.
Hey, that's why they get away with it, because the lazy mind is literally how they get away with everything. People are lazy. Where do I live?
You?
Yeah, where do I live?
You just said Connecticut.
Okay, do you believe it or do you know it?
Well, you told me, so I believe it.
You believe it, but it's not you don't know it. You
right.
believe it, and so that's the easy, that's the lazy way out.
Yeah.
Now, would you bet your life that I live in Connecticut?
No.
Okay, but what if someone says, I want you to bet your life that he lives in Connecticut, they'll give you 24 hours. Are you going to do some work?
Yeah, I'd probably do some work.
Yeah. So, but people don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
People don't want to do the work. And you say the stars are overwhelming. This is a star.
Hmm.
Our consumer optics have outgrown their lies, right? If stars were the distances they tell us, zooming in with a friggin' 83 zoom camera or 125 zoom camera wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't get any bigger, but we can zoom in on stars and see stuff like this.
Okay.
Right? You want to know what stars are?
Sure.
So do I. Nobody knows. Okay? This is the star Sirius, right? This one's a little out of focus. Mm. The other one's in pretty sharp focus. This one is Aldebaran, I think. Aldebaran. These are energetic, I think, angelic. That's me. I'm not speaking for anybody else.
I've heard that theory before.
Yeah. You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson says, we came from the stars. We're made from stardust. I think our souls live in the stars, and we're having a physical experience here on Earth.
Mm.
So, you know, we live in a soul system created by the Creator. And we're having an experience where our souls are expanding the mind of the Creator, they're trying to literally steal our souls.
Okay.
With the soul lure system, they're trying to fish them away from us. Mm. You know, they want you to believe that that's space. We're traveling through space. right?
Yeah.
But check this out. This is on a zero-G plane flight, right? These people, you know, does the parabolic arc, and they're letting all those ping pong balls go.
Yep.
Imagine these are stars. See how they're all crossing each other's path, right? They're not staying in the same position. They're moving all over the place, mm-hmm. right? They tell us that all of the stars, 80% of the stars in our galaxy are binary, which means they're orbiting, two stars are orbiting each other while they're going around. Some of them are trinary, so you got three stars going in ridiculous patterns. See how they're changing positions based on movement.
Yeah. Right?
But never once in all of history has a human ever recorded two stars changing positions. All of that motion, right? All of that motion, and they've never, ever...
Been in a different spot?
Two stars have never crossed each other's path.
Hmm.
Isn't that a little weird?
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask the question because I just don't know then. So, but then what about a shooting star?
Shooting stars are not stars. They're lights in the sky. They're here within the firmament, within the dome. And I think that personally that they're electrical phenomena. There's a whole bunch of videos we have on that where you can see where they can recreate them with electrical charges between two Gaussian surfaces, and you can recreate these things. Think about this. When we have every August, second week or third week in August, we have the Perseus meteor shower.
Yeah.
It always shows up at the same point in the sky. It always shows up on the same day of the following year. But you have to remember that we're supposedly going through the path of where an asteroid had gone by, and we're going through that path. But we're traveling 4.5 billion miles a year. We're orbiting around the sun. The sun's moving at 500,000 miles per hour. We're traveling 66,000 miles an hour. We're spinning, never to return to where we were before. But some reason that path always shows up on the second or third week in August that the Earth goes through. What are the random chances of that happening? These speeds are unfathomable. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, and trust me, I got them all wrong, and you can just say, I don't know.
Sure.
How fast is the Earth spinning? How fast is it orbiting? How fast is the sun moving?
I have no
idea. But you still believe you live on a globe. Just remember that.
Yeah. Okay?
So this is the hypersonic sled track, right? Watch it go by at Mach 8.6. You're not going to be able to see it.
Okay. Yep.
Okay? You can't fathom that speed. You have to believe that the Earth is going 10 times faster than that around the sun in a curved trajectory, which means not straight. Okay, mm-hmm. And then we're chasing the sun at 100 times faster than that, right? But when we go out into nature, we see stuff like this. Look at this water.
Yeah.
This is going on, and somehow the water's staying straight. Imagine if you were in a car, 100 miles an hour, perfectly straight road, you get a dinner plate, you fill it with water. If that car slows up, speeds up, turns left or right the slightest bit, what happens to the water?
Yeah, it tips over.
It washes away. What is this water telling you? What is nature telling you? And what is man telling you? Man is telling you this is going on.
Yeah.
God is telling you this is going on.
Well, what I'd say is, you know, just to go back to the car thing for a second. And again, I am not a science person, and my head is just not wrapped around numbers at the moment. But
here you go. You're giving up your God-given common senses. You have more common sense than you realize, but go ahead.
So I'm going to just say this. In my car, if I have my cup, right, and I'm doing 60, and everything's cool.
Yeah.
This water's pretty cool. Like, it's not really moving much.
But that's because you're going on a straight line.
Now, right.
Off of that trajectory, turning, if you're remaining at the exact same speed.
Right.
Turning is acceleration.
Yes.
Right? And so the Earth, not only is it turning, all of those four different motions are not straight lines, it's also speeding up and slowing down.
Okay.
It speeds up as it goes towards the sun, allegedly,
yep.
and slows down as it goes away. Speeding up, slowing down, spinning, curving, turning, whirling. None of this works. When you actually think about it, when people say, Dave, what's your best anti-globe or flat earth proof? The answer is every single one of them, if you just stop and think about them. Yeah. Every single one.
Would gravity be a reason why the water would stay? I'm just asking questions.
That is, you're a smart guy. That is the only answer they have. Gravity.
Yeah.
Right. Gravity.
Right.
Right. So here is,
because it's all pulling to the center at some speed, right? It's 32 feet per second squared, or 9.8, you know, whatever.
9.8 meters per second, which is an average. It's not actually consistent. And during electrical storms, things fall at a different rate.
Okay.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which is weird. So, So, and they also tell us that, I'm jumping ahead.
Sure, sure.
So, I got some leftover balloons here, helium balloons, mm-hmm. and we got this little button here, and we taped it to this wire. The wire goes to a Van de Graaff generator, and we're going to add a positive charge to it. Now, before I stop the video for a second, the ground, the earth has a negative charge, and the sky has a positive charge. Mm-hmm. These aren't theories. These are measurable facts. As you go up, there's more and more positive charge. So anything that's off the ground is surrounded by a positive charge. Negative and positive attract. We mm-hmm. learned that in school. And the earth, the ground is not moving. So when we add a positive charge to this, watch what happens. We're going to add a positive charge right now. And it goes down. Now, do we make it heavier or do we just make it more attracted to the earth? And when we discharge it, it goes back up. And now we can do the opposite too. If we take this tinfoil triangle, we put a negative charge into it, it goes up. We turn it off, it goes down. We turn it back on, it goes up. Mm-hmm. And it stays up. Now, are we defying gravity or are we defying electrostatics, right?
Right.
Let me show you one more thing. This is from MIT. It's called the silent drone. It looks like a bunch of milk crates together. Mm-hmm. It has no moving parts. And it flies just by changing its electrostatic potential, right? So electrostatics, they tell us, this is what mainstream science tells us. Electrostatics is 10 to the 36 power. That's 10 with 36 zeros. Stronger than gravity. Okay, now you said you're not good at the math. I gotta run through this with you. I want you to think about this, because people don't understand large numbers.
Yes.
Right. So how long do you think 1 trillion seconds is?
I have no idea. Like,
you want to take a guess? I'll give you $100 if you guess it within a week.
I don't know. It's probably like 600 years or something like that.
Yeah, 31,000 years.
Yeah, see, I'm okay. Not even close.
31,000. No one's ever. Don't feel bad. No one ever gets it close. And by me giving you that little window, it throws you off even more. Okay, kind of funny. So that's trillion. That's 12 zeros.
Yeah.
Right. So now, if I was over there right now and I punch you in the shoulder, guy punch, right?
Yep.
And you're like, ouch. Punch you 100 times harder and knock you to the ground. 1,000 times harder, probably break your back.
Yeah.
100,000 times, 1,000,000 times harder, I'd send you through the floor, right? Yeah. A billion times harder, you'd probably explode. 1 trillion times harder, it might blow up the whole town. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Right? That's 12 zeros. We got to get to 36.
Yeah.
Each time we add more zeros, we times 1,000. Okay. 10 to the 36th power stronger than gravity. What does that tell you about gravity? Gravity is nothing. Okay? Because the electrostatic force is weak, just like they say gravity is weak. Buoyancy and density sort everything else out. This ball goes down when I drop it because it's more dense than the air around it. But there's an electrostatic flow from the sky to the ground, measurable, that sets the downward direction. That's it. And then buoyancy and density sort everything else out.
Okay. So that takes, that's the gravity. All right.
That's what gravity is. And it's we can manipulate it. I just showed you, we made things go up, we made things go down. And so we have a variable, independent variable, dependent variable. It's the scientific method. Where's the scientific method when it comes to testing gravity? No one's ever tested it. There's no test that is legitimate where mass attracts math. Mass attracts math.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they claim there's this one, this a scientist put these lead balls in a barn and he looked at it, but he did not take into effect the electrostatic attraction of those balls to each other. Yeah. You know, we're crazy because we think down for everybody on Earth is down, right?
Yeah.
But this makes perfect sense. Everyone's feet are facing each other, no matter where you are on the spinning Earth, right? If the Earth was spinning, the guys here, okay, they'd be okay. But if you're standing here, like this guy, he'd be pushed sideways, right? Because the force would push him towards the plane of the spin,
right?
But then no one ever feels that. No one ever feels that because the Earth is not flat. Whoops, I got a couple things going on here.
Okay, so gravity is there. So you were talking before, we were looking at the mountain and the lake and you know, we're saying, okay, that would be moving like crazy if we were spinning and moving through space at this crazy speed, which is what we're told is happening, right? So I guess what is the flat Earth view on what's happening then? So like how is the sun, I guess for me, because if I'm just going to take it down to like the level that I can comprehend, the sun and the moon for me, right? Because like they come into view, right? Like I sit down in my living room in the mornings and the sun rises like right at my living room window pretty much. You know, there's a little variability in there throughout the year. It changes a little bit, but it's mostly smack dab on my living room window up. And then the moon is, to be honest, I don't track the moon as much as I track the sun because I don't really care. But I know it's, you know, up there somewhere. So how, because I saw the clock, and how is that all happening on the flat Earth? Because that's what I can't understand.
Right. So
not that I can understand it on the globe either. To be honest, I can't understand either view of it because I'm just not there.
I can't understand. Just say I don't understand. Yeah. Right. So let me just. Okay. So here is here's some streetlights and the moon, mm-hmm. right? Or the sun. Okay. The sun is just going away, and it goes down. The streetlights are going away, and they appear to go down. Now, you know all of these streetlights are the same height, right?
Yeah, it's perspective drawing.
It's perspective, so that goes beyond the horizon. So what do I mean by beyond the horizon? Because, you know, how is that possible? Let me show you a quick sunset. Let me just pull it up here. So here is the sun, looks like it's setting, but if I zoom in on it, it's really well above the horizon. Now, these trees here are, I'm on a boat, mm-hmm. okay? So these trees are a couple hundred feet above the water. So as the sun goes away, it's going to go beyond this. And as it goes beyond it, it's literally, if these are those trees, here's the sun, it goes beyond it.
Mm.
And it disappears. Okay,
mm-hmm.
it goes beyond it. So let's look at another one. Here is.
So it goes beyond it.
I'm listening. Yep.
It goes beyond it there, right? So yep. I'm sitting in that boat on Monday.
Yep.
And it goes beyond the trees, and then I'm sitting in the same boat. I never leave. I just say,
yep.
I'm anchored. I'm sitting here. The next day. It comes above my head again, and then it goes beyond it me so again. Did it do that path?
Yeah. So it circles the Earth. So here's the sky is a perfect clock. The sun keeps track of the hours and the days. Mm-hmm. Wherever the sun is noon. Now, right here is Sydney, Australia. Mm-hmm. I can call my friend PK and say, hey, what time is it, and where is the sun? And he'd be like, well, it's almost 12 o'clock, and the sun's almost directly above my head
mm-hmm.
because that's where he is. So the sun is like a streetlight. You're standing under a streetlight. That's your 12 noon streetlight.
Okay.
Your 12 noon sun. And as the sun goes away, it just goes around. I'll slow it down a little bit. So the sun circles around. Now, see this outer yellow line here? That's the Tropic of Cancer. No, uh-huh. Tropic of Capricorn. And the sun migrates from the inner line, which is the Tropic of Cancer, to the outer line 6 months out, 6 months in. So December 21st, June 21st. So as it goes out, where are you? What state are you in?
I'm in Jersey.
You're in Jersey. All right. I'm in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
I'm in Connecticut. I believe you. Yeah. I believe you.
I'm in Jersey.
All right. I believe you. I believe you, but I don't know it. So it's getting winter for us. The sun is setting earlier because it's going out here. Now, in June, it comes closer here. It goes right over Miami. It's why it's so hot in Miami in June. And when it's closer, it's higher. It never goes directly over us because it never gets over us. It only comes to here and it goes out. That's why everything in between the tropics is the tropics. And that's why it's hot, because the sun never gets far from them and it crosses over their path twice a year. It only comes near us and then it goes away, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going away. December 21st, the sun's going to die for 3 days. And then it's going to rise again. The sun dies on December 25th and rises 3 days later. That's weird.
Mm.
Okay. All right. And so the sun also, watch, I'll speed it up. It laps the moon once every 28 days, right?
Okay.
So when it's opposed to the moon, we have a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes around, it's going to catch up to the moon, and the moon is waning right now. So the moon keeps track of the weeks and the months. You know, there used to be 13 months of 28 days and then one day to reset the year. That's 365, right? They hijacked our calendar. They hijack us with daylight savings time, right? You know, daylight savings time is this. Man, I'm cold. The blanket doesn't come high enough on me. So I'm going to cut a foot off of my blanket on the bottom and sew it to the top so I can be warmer, right? That's what they're doing. That's what daylight saving time is. It's stupid, right? And they say, oh, it's for the farmers. It's for this. No, it's to throw our cycle off because they don't want us understanding where we are, what our connection to nature is. And then also, if I turn on the stars here, the stars are going slightly faster than the sun. So right now, it takes 365 times around for the stars to lap the sun. So the sun will drift back into each zodiac for about a month.
Okay.
And that's why the sun is in each zodiac. This could not happen in a heliocentric beehive, which I showed you before. That's what they tell us. They want us to believe, right? There's a thing called the three-body problem. No supercomputer in the world can model what three bodies orbiting each other will do. Mm. It goes into random chaos mode, right? But we have hundreds of billions and trillions of bodies that just perfectly reset, never cross any paths. Never, you know, we have alignments of all of our planets, you know, planets, plane with a T. And none of the gravity affects each other, right? Helium and hydrogen, how much do they weigh? They defy gravity, right? Yeah. They defy gravity. But, so, and what happens when I have a jar of gas in a room with no air? I open the jar, violently fills the available space. Except in space, helium and hydrogen collapse upon each other, turn into thermonuclear furnaces and have enough gravity to hold on to Pluto, but don't have enough gravity to affect our moon.
Hmm.
This is all insanity. We go back to some proofs, but I want to go into why this affects sobriety.
Okay? Yeah, we will get there. I got two things because, like I said, I kind of looked a little bit before we started talking about your socials. And so I see the map there on the earth, and I believe the idea around Antarctica is the edge. Is that what I'm to understand through the...
So if you wanted to take a bath and the side of the bathtub was missing, could you do it?
No.
You have a pond or a lake near you?
Yeah.
If one of the sides of the lake was lower than the surface of the water, would the lake exist?
No.
Water needs containment.
Right.
Right? Gas needs containment.
Right.
We live on a watery ball with gas adjacent to a vacuum. And they want to say that gravity can hold the air down, but I can, with the small, low-pressure system of my mouth and lungs, I can, with using a straw, can suck air and water up and away from gravity, but the core 17 vacuum of space, which we can't even recreate here on Earth because it's so strong, can't pull that air off.
I'm speaking out of my ass because I don't know anything.
That's what you have to do. You have to.
But that is what it is, right? Atmosphere's holding it all in.
To defend heliocentrism, you need to speak out of your ass. So you have to continue.
Okay.
Because it's so stupid. And once you break the programming, once you're like, okay. You know, this is crazy. You know, you're drinking out of your Yeti mug. I'm drinking out of my Yeti mug.
Yep.
We're both having tea. There's a quarter inch of a vacuum in between here, and our tea will stay hot for 24 hours.
Yep.
But the sun, a helium and hydrogen ball that has enough gravity to hold on to Pluto, ignore our moon, is heating the Earth through a 93 million mile vacuum, a void. Somehow that heat is transferring to the Earth and heating us. And check this out. There's a thing called thermal conduction. If you have a heat source and the vacuum, it won't go through the vacuum. But if we filled the wall of the Yeti cup with a solid, you know, put dirt in there or something, the heat would transfer right through.
Yeah.
Well, they tell us that the core of the Earth is hotter than the sun.
Yeah.
How come that thermal heat doesn't come all the way up to the surface? But the heat from through the vacuum of space, it can come all the way here, right? You got to do some serious ass talking to come up with an excuse for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
So, okay. So now we're saying the water has to be contained, right? And
yes.
If I'm to understand, it's Antarctica is surrounding the entire circle of Earth.
So here's we're looking down at the Earth.
Yep.
There.
You got
America, right? Australia. And this pink line is 60 degrees south. So we start at north, we go out to the equator, mm-hmm. which is 90 degrees, and then back down to zero, which is supposedly the South Pole, right? But at 60 degrees south, no independent exploration is allowed, right? Every country in the world agrees on that. And another weird thing that happened in 2020, they all agree on that, no arguments, right? But there's no independent exploration. Now, why is that?
Mm.
Why can't we go out here? So this, and check this out. Antarctica, let me see. Antarctica is, interestingly, do I have it here? Is interestingly the highest land on Earth. Here, I'll just go here.
The highest land on Earth.
So yeah, that's weird, right? Let me just show you. I can pull it up quickly here. So here's the average elevation of all the continents in the world. Can you guess which one Antarctica is? Boom, right there. That's the shoreline of our world. That's the shoreline of our world, and it holds the oceans in. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
That's the average elevation, huh?
That's the average elevation of Antarctica.
Hmm.
Correct. Right. So it's the highest land on Earth. They say there's a 200-foot ice wall when you get there. That's the shoreline. The plateau is 200 feet above the ocean. Now, there probably are some areas where it has a steep, you know, beach type or, you know, a shoreline. But it's mostly an ice wall all the way around.
Hmm. So
now, I'm going to retract that statement. We don't know if it goes all the way around.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask that question. So I go down there. I'm on a boat.
Out there, wherever.
I go up, down. I go to Antarctica in a boat.
Yeah.
I hit the wall, and I make a right.
A right.
I make a right. I'm like, you know, I turn the boat right, and I drive down the shoreline.
Yep.
In my head, I'm going to come to a point where I go around it mm-hmm. and then come back around and, you know, let's say I drop a buoy where I started. Eventually, I'm going to come back all the way around and hit my buoy and pick it up. Has that ever happened? Has anybody gone around it and done that?
So they tell us that Antarctica is the shoreline is about. I'm trying to see if I have a quick image here. They tell us that Antarctica is about 10 to 13,000 miles in circumference.
Mm.
So. Anyone that's tried to circumnavigate Antarctica, including the last one was Captain Cook, it took him 3.5 years and he went over 68,000 miles.
Hmm.
Wait a minute. If the equator is only 25,000 miles, how did he go 68,000 miles around Antarctica?
Right.
Unless, of course, he's going all the way around this way, right? But let me help you out with the circumnavigation, okay? So... we have our North Pole. Pay attention here.
Yep.
We got a neodymium magnet here. So that's our North Pole.
Yep.
And so it's overpowering the magnet. I mean, this compass is pointing towards the center of the Earth here. So this is a boat, a plane, whatever you want.
Yep.
And so west is that way. But I'm going to try to push it 270. I got to constantly turn to the right to maintain a heading of 270. Now, this boat, this plane thinks he's going in a straight line because he's following his compass. But he's really going in a circle. This doesn't prove the Earth is flat because it's the same on a globe.
Right.
It's the same on a globe. So if I go east, 90 degrees east, I have to keep turning. See, the compass has always got to point towards the center.
Mm-hmm.
So 90 degrees east is going to take me around, and it's just like going around your town. If your town hall was at the center and you walked all the way around your town, it doesn't make your town a sphere. Now, if I try to dead reckon, which means I'm not going to adjust, I'm not going to follow the compass. I'm going to start going west. Look, I'm going south already. I'm going south. South is every direction away from the center.
Mm.
That's south. Now, here's something interesting. Billions and billions and billions of people have circumnavigated east and west. Zero have gone south.
right,
and come up on the other side. No one's gone from Santiago over Antarctica and ended up in Australia. If you go south, you go south, and you always go south. Now, if you go north, you're heading north, you're heading north, you're heading north, and as soon as you pass North Pole, watch the compass, it just did a 180, and now you're going south. Every straight line ends up going south.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
It is interesting. And, you know, people say, well, what about the Antarctic boat race? The boat race, I think they're having it now, right? These boats go 25, 30 miles an hour, maybe even faster.
Yeah. Right?
These are state-of-the-art boats. And in the south, they're strongest winds. They're way stronger winds in the south than there are in the north. But every sailboat distance record for a day has been made in the north. And some of them are over 200 miles more than a boat in the south. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Because GPS, run by NASA, is controlled by NASA. When you're out at sea, you don't know how far you're going. These boats, the boats that win the race, have an average speed of 4 miles per hour. What? That's like, hey, I won the Indianapolis 500. How fast were you going? I was going 23.
Yeah.
I was going 23, right? No one would believe it. But, and this was last year or 2 years ago. This was on their website that the leg from South Africa over to Brazil was 32,000 miles. Wait a minute. The entire equator is 25,000 miles. How is that leg around this little continent 32,000? This was on their website. And we have actually sailors, that's because this is 32,000 miles. That's how he was going, okay? So this is, and by the way, this isn't even that accurate. They come way north. They do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Okay. Right?
We have some of the captains of those boats that are full-on flat earthers. Like, yeah, we saw this. We realized it. But nobody wants to talk about it because, you know, no scientist will talk about it because he loses his funding. No teacher talks about it. They lose their job. Airplane pilots that talk about it get grounded. But we have tons of airplane pilots. I have a bunch of Delta pilots and other pilots, Qantas pilots. They all know. They all know. Not all the pilots know, but a lot of them know. But a pilot is, you know, their job is to take off and to land, right?
Yep.
The computers fly the plane everywhere else. Let me show you. Let me show you something here. So here is, all right. So you're here, not the scale, of course. You're sitting here and you're looking at these stars over here, right?
Yep.
On your horizon, right? You're flying 30,000 feet, whatever it is. You're looking at those stars. And as you fly down here, you're now looking there. So these stars are now above you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You went over the ball, right? They should be above you, right? Those stars are above you. So let me show you an actual video. Where is it? Hold on a second. Where the hell did it go? So here is, I'm getting a little feedback. Were you saying something?
No, you're good.
All right. Where did it go? I'll find it in a second. So this is why I'm looking for you. You can look at this. So if you were flying south-north, the plane would be doing this figure eight, okay? Just try to let your mind wrap around that. That's what it would be required to do. Besides going upside down, it's doing a figure eight if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Going left,
yep.
Going right, right? I found the video here. Okay, so this is a trip it's going down to Brazil. It's from Germany. I think
okay.
It was Germany to Brazil. All right, and this is a time lapse, and we're looking at these stars, and they're just staying kind of there, you know. They're moving when the plane turns.
Yeah.
This is what Google Earth says should happen. As you're diving over the ball, these stars should be rising up. They should be rising up.
Right
rising
over your head.
As you're diving over the ball.
Sure.
Right? So this is what the computer simulation, Google Earth, which added curvature in 2001 when nobody was looking. And this is what reality shows us. The stars are not rising.
Mm.
the stars are not rising. So is this the best proof? Yes, every proof is the best proof because there's so many of them.
Right.
There is no curvature. Now, I'm showing you this one because globers, when you show them something that should be way, way behind a physical curve, they go, refraction, it's refracting up. It's refraction. There's no refraction here. You can't claim that. This is what the ball model says was required to happen. All these stars are rising up, and this is reality.
Mm.
Reality. Right?
Yeah.
And let me just show you one more thing. So this is... you're on an airplane, and a pilot says, we're approaching the airport. Seat backs up. We're going to be descending. We'll be landing in about 20 minutes, whatever. Yep. Yeah, we're about 125 miles from the airport, and they start descending. 125 miles. On a globe Earth, 24,901 miles around, they have to calculate, okay, we're at 30,000 feet. We got to drop X number of feet per minute to end up on the runway. Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a flat Earth calculation that they do. The problem is that 125 miles out, he'd be 2 miles too high because there's 2 miles of curvature in 125 miles. But they don't calculate for it. Is that weird?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a weird one.
This? If a plane is sitting on the equator on a runway,
mm-hmm.
It's moving 1,000 miles an hour from west to east. It's spinning. It's spinning with the Earth to the east, right? Mm-hmm. So you could say it has this tangential speed, when it takes off. But a plane sitting at the North Pole is just pirouetting. It's turning around once every 24 hours. So it really has no tangential. If I could say the word speed, right? You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So if a plane takes off from the North Pole, flies to Ecuador, and wants to land on a runway that's oriented north and south, how does it speed up? How does it catch up to that runway that's moving sideways at 1,000 miles an hour? Now, the only thing you could say is gravity is speeding up the plane. It's going with the wind. The wind is spinning with the Earth.
Right.
Right? You know the official story was why the atmosphere spins with the Earth? Because the Earth has been spinning for so many billions of years that the rough surface of the air has made everything spin with it. Right? It's the viscosity of the air is just spinning with the Earth. Meanwhile, a summer breeze blows left, blows right, hurricanes come in, spinning, right? We have no problem. The mental gymnastics that you need to do to defend the globe are ridiculous.
Right? Yeah.
And again, you got a life, you got a podcast, you got a real job, you might have a family, you got responsibilities.
Sure.
You got some downtime. You want to watch some Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you got to, people don't want to, you know, they're like, hey, you know, I get 2 weeks vacation. I get 3 weeks vacation a year. I'm great, right? That's not what life's about, right? They have you working. They have you lost. And this is, as I said, this is a spiritual war.
Sure.
Taking your energy, taking your, they want to have you live. They want you lonely and afraid and scared and living in lack and take that energy from you. Let's talk about...
I can believe that. So I'm going to say I 100% believe your concept there, right? This idea that we work, you know, whatever, 40, 60, you know, people work 80 hours. Some people have to work 2 jobs, 3 jobs. You know, families never see each other. And I do feel like there's some sort of better way. I've said it to my friends a long time ago. Like, you know, has anybody really looked up and thought, boy, computers do a lot of stuff, yet we still are working our tails off to do what, right? And you know, we don't have the energy to focus on, you know, our children the way we should, ourselves the way we should, right? And it's hard when you have a job. And to your point, like, my day's over, I got to run around and do stuff. I sit down and watch Netflix, you know, and then go to bed and wake up and do it again. And right. There isn't time to challenge anything, you know, be it flat Earth, the round Earth, our local governments, you know, the school system. There's not a lot of time left for anybody to really stick their head up and go, this doesn't seem right. And I do think that, you know, if we could get back to a point where, you know, less than 40 hours a week gave people a real living where they felt like whole,
Well, the whole psyop, the women going to work, women's rights, we got to go to work. Women, that was all a psyop. It's first to pull more energy from us by tax money, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about energy. And they're not doing it for money. They use money to control us. If you live on their fake ball, you have to play by their fake laws.
Sure.
And then they control us with their money, and they control us with food. And you know, they control us with making us pay. We have to go to the gas pump every week. We have to pay our electric bill every month, right? Energy is free. Tesla proved that, mm-hmm. right? And there's free energy everywhere, but they don't want you to know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the globe is a prison for your mind. It comes with lack and fear and hopelessness. Now, I said earlier that we live in a soul system, mm-hmm. right? So the way I see it is souls are the most precious thing in that God created, and he made a system for them to have these experiences. So we are here. You have a soul inside of you, and then you have your conscious mind, right? And if your conscious mind is lost in the matrix, watching the news, which is steering your mind, north, east, west, south, news, okay, which is steering your mind. If you're afraid of nuclear bombs, fake. Okay, if you're afraid of we're running out of food, we're running out of fuel, where asteroids are going to take us out, and all of this stuff, you're living in this fear-based, you know, dis-ease, mm-hmm. right, world. Your soul is constantly trying to say, hey, we're here. We're having this experience. You got to wake up. But sometimes the human mind is so lost, the soul gives up, and that's when depression comes in. Mm-hmm. And depression leads to all of these other addictions, okay? So you're depressed, and then you start finding, oh, I'm going to do some drugs. I'm going to drink some alcohol, and that's going to make it all better. And that's a whole cycle that people go down, spiral down. And that, you know, the spirit, the alcohol spirit, that's why they call it spirits, is a very addictive one. I don't want to say it's tough to beat, because it's not tough to beat. Anyone mm-hmm. can beat it. You just have to understand it. Mm-hmm. There's so many flat earthers that were drug addicts, alcoholics, that tried on and off the wagon, you know, in sobriety, out of sobriety, just not doing good. And then when they found this topic, they found a new connection to the creator. They found a new meaning, a new purpose. And they literally, they're clean, sober, and productive people having amazing, amazing lives. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of them.
Okay.
There's a couple podcasts. One of them is called Mellow Dome.
Yeah.
Right. It's a bunch of guys that all had addiction issues, and they've overcome them, and they discuss them on their podcast, kind of like you. It's out there on YouTube, Mellow Dome. Look it up, and it actually brings you new hope. Like, I used to be bored sometimes. Bored? I don't even know what that word means anymore. Right. I used to be like, you know, what's the purpose of life? I now see the purpose of life.
Mm.
Right. So when you are not bored, and you can see the purpose of your life, and you know that your thoughts matter. Your thoughts create your reality, right? They don't want you to know that your thoughts actually have manifestational powers.
Right.
Right? They don't want you to know that. They want you to think that that's all mumbo jumbo. You got to work hard. And then when you're 65, we'll let you retire in 5 more years when you're 70. And then you're going to be on these drugs. And then you can go to the beach and enjoy yourself. No, that's not how it works. That's not what life's about, right? This world is an amazing place where the amazing people to your left and to your right, in front of you and behind you, but they want you to think they're all your enemies. They want you to be in competition with each other. They want you, believing in all of their materialism and their nonsense. They want you on their drugs. Drugs don't have side effects. They have direct effects.
Right.
And they want you on all of these drugs. They, you know, remember during the lockdowns, churches were closed, but the liquor stores were open.
Yeah, okay? That was a big deal.
That's got to tell you something.
Yeah.
That's got to tell you something. So,
yeah.
You know, once you start...
I'm going to stop on there, because that's right. I remember the bars were opening and the liquor stores were open. And I can tell you, I was not a big church person for a while. And I go now with my one son. We go to a Unity church locally. But they took a huge hit on membership because of that time. And, you know, to build it back up has been a challenge. And yeah.
Let me say something about organized religion. It has its purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. And some people get a lot of benefit from it. However, they become a middleman. In the 1776 Bible, there was a whole bunch of stuff that's not in the Bible anymore. And one of those things was that God is within you, right?
Yeah.
But the church leaders all got together and goes, you know, we got to separate this. We got to say they need us to get to God. We have to be the middleman. Yeah. That way we can control people. They want you in one of the religions, one of the main religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, whatever, or Scientism. Okay.
Yep.
Either way, you're in a religion. Science is a bigger faith. Scientism, the globe model scientism, is more of a faith-based religion than any other religion, right? There's more proof of all of these religions than there is of the globe because there's zero proof of the globe.
Right.
Zero. There's just stories, right? People go, what about Eratosthenes and everything? And, you know, with his sticks and shadows, all of that is explained away. Right. We don't have time to get into all of that. But on my app, the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app,
every day
there's a new video. And I just say to people, take it slow. While you're having your tea in the morning or coffee, whatever, watch the daily video. Just watch one video a day. And say, watch that for 2 weeks. I offer 3 Bitcoins. That's almost 300 grand right now.
Yeah.
Okay. For one globe proof. Mm. But you have to watch the video every day for 2 weeks. Okay. Then you hit the question mark button.
Okay.
And up come the frequently asked questions, and make sure it's not here. If you ask about gravity, check out the gravity videos first. Where does the sun go? The sunset videos, right? What about the ISS? What about stars? You know, all of the stuff is here. There's all the questions are answered. And I guarantee once you start seeing that stuff, it'll blow your mind. If you want to look into biblical flat earth, there's tons of biblical stuff.
Okay.
Right? You know about the old world? Have you looked into that?
No.
So I got one thing for you. I want you to turn off Netflix tonight.
Okay.
And I want you to watch Old World Order.
Okay.
Okay. You can find it on my website. There's a banner. It says Old World Order. Mm-hmm. FlatEarthDave.com. Old World Order. It's free. And watch it. And basically, it's gonna show you that everything you were ever taught about history is a lie.
Hmm.
It's a complete and total lie. And then after you watch that, come back to the app, come back to the website, and find more videos. There's so many. My Lunch Break is another great channel. You can find that on YouTube. You don't even need the app for it.
Okay.
And it's going to teach you about what this place was and what it is and what they're hiding from you. So the app does so much more than that, but I'm not going to go too much more into that. But it basically, all of this stuff is being hidden from you. You can Google, you know, A Stranger's Guide to Flat Earth, 21 Questions. Great video. Not going to come up.
Right. Right.
You can find it in the app. Everything is here in the app. In the app, if you hit the button, it looks like a spider web. That's called More Resources. And this will replace Netflix for you, this button right here.
Okay.
Full length Flat Earth videos. Full length Flat Earth videos.
I got.
Now, you watch those. You're gonna love them. You're gonna love them.
I got one more question because I had seen it on one of your Instagram reels, and it had something to do with an island. I forget the name of the island, but it was on a weird time zone line.
Kiribati.
Yeah, Kiribati. Can you explain the island to people? Because there were some weird numbers that you were throwing around, and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. We're not allowed to explore beyond 60 degrees south unsupervised, right? So, I'm stalling as I'm pulling it up.
Yeah, no.
And the two places that would prove the Earth is not as flat or a globe are Antarctica and the North Pole.
Right.
And both of them are off limits, virtually and physically. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't even measure them on Google Earth. So we're looking at a ship tracking site. You can track all these ships, click on any ship, and it'll tell you where it is. And we noticed that there was a ship that was 730 miles inside of the shoreline of Antarctica. How does that happen? That's well above sea level, too. That's 1.9 miles higher than the ocean. How does a active ship get there? And then we saw another one that was 905 miles in, right? That's 2.37 miles above sea level. How does an active ship get all the way in there, right?
Right.
So this is a map that was found in a Buddhist temple 10 centuries old, and it was published in 1910 in a Hawaiian newspaper. And it basically shows all of these continents out here.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird. Now, when you go to Antarctica, you go from Santiago and you go out. Now, what if they took you to this continent right here, right to the middle of the continent? And they said, you're in Antarctica. Would you know it's a continent? Look at the size of this thing. It's bigger than South America and America and Canada. Okay. It's gigantic. So if they pulled you up here, you don't know what it is.
Right.
You don't know what this is. Right. You can't go around it. It's too long. You're only going to go and you're going to visit and then you're going to leave. And you go, oh, I was at the continent at the bottom of a ball. So why am I showing you that? Let me show you. So we clicked on the one ship and it said it was 850 meters long and 80 meters wide. That's gigantic. That is a gigantic ship. I've never seen a ship that big. And it was registered to the island of Kiribati, which was it's spelled out Kiribati with a T. Kiribati, right? And so where is Kiribati? It's out here in the middle of nowhere. It's a friggin' sandbar. I had to put a pin on it so you can see it, right? And you zoom in on it, and there it is, okay? And so America, China, they gave them $10 billion each recently. They say it's a very important trade route, right? Very important trade route. Why is that island a very important trade route, right? Remember before I told you about Captain Cook trying to circumnavigate Antarctica? He did it twice. There's a Captain Cook hotel in Kiribati. Weird. Maybe just someone's obsessed with Captain Cook. But there's a Captain Cook, you know, bed and breakfast, right? Mm-hmm. Weird. So if we look at the ships that are docking on their gigantic port, they have a gigantic pier. It's hard to see here.
Yeah.
All of them have a destination of either unknown or Christmas Island. Now, the whole Christmas, what's Christmas? Santa, Satan, right? That's a whole nother thing, but that's weird. It's just weird. I don't know what it means. It doesn't mean anything. Okay? Mm. It's just weird. And then they, so let's talk about time zones for a second. So time zones on a ball, you got a line from the North Pole to the South Pole. You got 24 lines, making it sections like an orange all the way around. And as it spins, wherever the sun is above, that's noon in that area. So you have all these time zones, but you got this weird time zone over here that zigzags. Okay. And so let's take a look at that. And this time zone goes across 3.5 time zones. And what's in the weirdest spot of all? Well, Kiribati is there. Okay. Kiribati is there. And we started making videos. They started going viral on this. And they literally just a couple months ago changed the name of Kiribati to Kiribati with an M. Okay. And now when you search Kiribati, it takes you to the other side of the world. The Kiribati is now all the way over here, which we were just at. And if you zoom in, it's Kiribati now. What the hell happened? All right? Weird, right?
Yeah.
Weird.
Very weird.
And by the way, this happens all the time. We expose stuff like the Georgia Guidestones and they blow them up. You know about the Georgia Guidestones, right?
No.
Maybe not. Oh, no. Boy. All right. There's 19 time zones in the north, 24 in the tropics, and 32 in the outer south. There's no explanation on the ball for that. There's no explanation on the ball. These are actual time zones. They're like, oh, well, it's political, this and that, right? So what's going on? And my answer is, this is, if the world is set up like this, remember, if I took that and wrapped it around a ball, all of these continents get wedged into the bottom of the ball, and then they say, oh, that's Antarctica. But no one's allowed to explore there.
Right.
No one's allowed to explore there. So what if there was a trade route out here to the outer lands to other advanced civilizations? Maybe they're trading computer chips. Maybe they're trading tuna fish or children. Who knows?
Right.
Okay. And there, we saw a line of ships going through Antarctica. So that's a glitch in their system that we caught. Right. But now you don't see any of the ships in Antarctica, or I haven't checked lately, but they pretty much straightened that out. So there could be, and here's the thing is, you didn't know about this until you looked at my Instagram, right?
Right.
Nobody knows about Kiribati, right?
Yeah.
Kiribati or whatever. Now it's called Kiribati. What if there's another one over here that goes out this way and another one out here? What if this is where the Sumerians live? This is where the Atlanteans live. What if there's just, what if the real controllers of our world live out here?
How right.
You never know. And if somebody lived out here on the extra land, extra territory, they would be extraterrestrials from where? The outer space, right?
Yep.
And so somebody to come in here and crash in Roswell, that's a day trip. versus coming from the closest star 25 trillion miles away. Remember how big a trillion is?
Yep, yep, yep.
25 trillion miles away in a vacuum of space, which is scientifically impossible.
Yeah.
They're going to come here and crash in Roswell? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is a compelling map, right? Like, if you're looking at this map, it is compelling.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You don't need to speculate what's beyond 60 degrees south to prove the Earth is flat. We can prove it. There's a thousand proofs.
Hmm.
Let me just show you one thing we can see too far. Here is a picture from this mountain. We can see, it's hard to see here, but these are all these mountains that are over 700 miles away. That would mean there's over 50 miles of curvature missing. 50 miles.
Yeah.
It should be 50 miles below the curve, right? And these mountains over here are even farther, but we can still see them.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, people, the globers will be like, oh, that's nonsense. You know, those are clouds, right? They don't like answering to things that make that they just can't answer, right? There's, you know, and then now that we use infrared, we can see things. Now it's hard to see, but if you go to the channel Jay Tolan Media,
mm-hmm.
These are mountains. They're 430 miles away. The curvature is ridiculous at these distances.
Sure.
But if you take off the infrared, you just see sky. You don't see any of this. You don't see any of it.
Hmm.
Amazing.
Well, listen, I could probably do a whole nother one of these with you. I appreciate you coming on tonight and
right.
and giving me the basics of this, because I think there's a lot, right? So, you know, and I know that you have a lot more and your website.
Here's the thing. I can't hold your hand all the way through this.
Right.
I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying it to everybody.
Right.
I've been doing this for over 10 years. I learn new stuff every day. Normally my mind is blown by 7 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
Every day, like, I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize that. So on my website, scroll down to the crash course. You'll see a big picture of me. It says crash course.
Okay.
Click that. There's a whole bunch of videos there. Watch those. Or get the app if you want to have, if like, hey, I'm really interested in this.
Yeah.
Have the app. This way, whenever you got a couple minutes to spare, you can click it on, check the FAQs, check out the homeschool section, everything. There's a book section. They're amazing books, Outer Land books, children's books.
Okay.
Now, you know, all sorts of stuff. It's a wealth of information. But the thing is, Google is hiding all of this information from you.
Sure.
Why are they hiding it if it's nonsense? Every flat earth, you Google flat earth on YouTube, every video that comes up is a hit piece. Is it literally an anti-flat earth video? Why are they hiding all the things that you're searching for?
Hmm.
That's not good business.
Yeah.
Why are they hiding it? So again, once you see what this place is, once you understand the space programs are not real, space is not real, planets are not real, stars are close,
mm-hmm.
they're probably sentient, and that you are a powerful soul having a physical experience, once you connect back with your soul, your addiction goes away.
Yeah. Well, again, I appreciate you being on tonight and learning more about this. I am going to look at your website and watch some of the videos that you suggested. But I also like to end my episodes with asking my guests a little bit about the media they take in. So I'm wondering if you could give us some shows or music or books that you're really interested in right now. Because I think that is something that I try to start this episode and end this episode with my same stuff. Because, I that's just me.
So the books I'm into they're all on the app here.
Okay.
This is a new kid's book for kids and adults. It's called Who Said the Earth is Flat? The Upside Down Cosmos. I just interviewed the author of that. It's very good. And then my favorites are the More Land books. One of them is Navigator Across the Ice Wall and The Iron Republic.
Okay.
These are amazing. Smoky God. These are books that will absolutely blow your mind. I also am into very health books, the cholesterol myth,
mm-hmm.
And then all the way down to, you know, Where Did the Towers Go by Dr. Judy Wood.
Okay.
These are books. I don't watch very much television. Occasionally, you know, I'll throw something on.
Mm-hmm.
you know, just for a little entertainment. But I mostly, you know, research stuff about Flat Earth.
Sure.
On the app here, if you hit the home school, is it the home school section? The home school section. No, not the home school section. If you hit the more resources section, there's the, oh no, the old world section,
yep.
The lost history of Flat Earth, right? The first video on there is 5 hours long.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
5 hours long. So let me tell you something. When that first came out, they started sending me that video. I'm like, I'm not watching a 5 hour video.
Yeah.
Even though I want to, it's just too long.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. Like, yeah.
You know, why does something have to be 5 hours? And more people sent it to me, and I kind of just had it. And one night around 11 p.m., I was cleaning up some stuff. I was like, let me just throw that on. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Next thing I know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm holding my head. My jaw is dropped. My tongue is falling out. I'm like, holy crap. Then I did my work for the day, came home, and watched it again.
Yeah.
Watched the same video, 5 hour video, twice in 24 hours. It's scientifically impossible to watch that video and believe in history or the globe when you're done.
Okay.
But the problem is, it's a 5 hour video.
5 hour video.
Try getting people to watch a 5 minute video. It's that they don't want to watch.
It's a long time.
The thing is, it's not a long time. It goes by like that.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing.
What about music? Any music?
Well, we have a lot of Flat Earth music that's out there now. I haven't been listening to as much music as I'd like, but I listen to regular, like a channel called Yacht Rock. You know,
yeah, okay,
you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, sometimes. You know, when we're out relaxing.
Sure. Yacht Rock channel on Sirius is good.
Yeah,
I like it. All right. Well, Dave, I you know, if you want to just end the episode, tell everybody where they can find you. And on social media, I'm going to tag you in the notes. Flat, so, you know, everybody will get to your stuff.
FlatEarthDave.com. All my socials are there. Follow me on X. It's listed there, but it's FlatEarthDaveX. FlatEarthDave.com. Everything's there. I have my interviews channel where this interview will be after you air it. It's there. It's also in the app. There's an interviews button. But I also have my DITRH, which stands for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole channel, which all the videos are there are under 5 minutes. So
okay, great.
Someone is like, let me look into this. Watch my 5 minute videos. Some of them are shorter, much shorter.
Yeah.
And so it's all, again, it's all linked on flatearthdave.com.
Great, Dave. Thanks again for being on. I appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, people that are listening, check out your stuff and, you know, challenge themselves. That's what I'll say.
Win the 3 bitcoins. Try to win the 3 bitcoins. Yeah. But I warn you, if you really want to win the 3 bitcoins, you're going to end up being a flat earther.
3 bitcoins is a lot of money right now. I think it's up to like 90,000 today, right? Something like that. Moving.
And also, we have our own on the app. We created a coin called the Dome Shot.
Okay.
So domeshot.io. And just by referring the app to other people, you earn Dome Shot. And guess what? Right now, one referral. A $3 app gets you $8 worth of Dome that you could sell.
It's not bad.
It's ridiculous is what it is.
It's a good deal. Dave, thank you again. And everybody will be back next week with another episode. And thanks for listening.